No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manouk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
The Dallas Stars may very well end up winning the Central Division. They may very well end up being the number one team in the Western Conference, but that will not start this evening, Ezzy, because the Jets did something they have not done all season long, which is defeat the Dallas Stars, which is exactly what they did, defeating them 3-0 in Big D. I'm Big D Manouk, who's back on the show, as you can tell, after my sojourn to Vegas, my voice restored after a few days of inability to talk, as so
it's good
back
to have you back, Dave Ammon. And it's good to hear you. I was a little bit worried about you. I can't remember. I've known you for like 20 plus years, and I can never remember a time when you ever lost your voice.
Yeah, yeah. I was doing a lot of chit chatting, so unfortunately, my vocal cords took a hit.
And apparently, a lot of singing and yelling.
Singing and dancing.
That you lost your voice.
That's right. That's right. So I'm back. No Drew, but Ezzy Ginsberg, my main man, is in the house, literally. And we're ready to go talking about a big win, a complete win, a 60-minute win by the Winnipeg Jets and Laurent Brossoit, who picks up his third shutout of the season. But this was going to be the big test, Ezzy, the Jets on this somewhat bizarre four-game road trip. Of course, one game in Minnesota where they came home after. Then they went to Nashville. Not a complete game. Connor Hellebuck stole the show there. And now their third win of this road trip. They'll, of course, go into Colorado and try and complete the road sweep. But the Jets remain undefeated in April. They've started things off with a big, big win because, as we talked about, this is a chance for them to catch Colorado. It makes the game on Saturday a lot more interesting. And, you know, it's going to be a fascinating game to talk about. But we're talking about this game, Ez. So what are your takeaways? What are your initial thoughts on these team that was called frauds, as Dietermeister is saying?
Yeah, exactly. I was going to mention that comment because obviously we've got it up there for those on the pod. Dietermeister saying it was one of the Stars players that called the Jets frauds. And wouldn't that be funny? Because, you know, as you mentioned, Dave, like, you know, the Stars have owned the Jets up until this point, right? And they still won the season series. But, you know, whether you want to call this a statement game or, you know, whether you want to call this a measuring stick game, you know, Dallas is the top dog right now in the Central Division. And one of the best teams in the league. And I, you know, I would say, you know, the Jets are also one of the best teams in the league, but Dallas is that one team that I think they view, in addition to Colorado, as their biggest obstacle to winning the Stanley Cup this year. Right. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of the way, you know, a quintessential road game, right? Like, especially that first period where Dallas just didn't have a lot going on. You know, they had very few high danger chances. And the thing that impressed me the most was the second period, because we know that middle frame, especially in the second half of the season, I mean, just recently in Nashville, right, the Jets were outshot 22-5. And if it wasn't for Connor Hellebuck, you know, the Predators could have had three or four goals, right? You go back to, you know, just Luke Evangelista alone had 10 shots on net against the Jets in Nashville, right, Dave?
Yeah.
So a really impressive game. Laurent Brossoit was really solid. And I don't know if you would say, you know, he stole this game, but he was excellent. And, you know, for a guy who, you know, started in net for the Golden Knights, but obviously, you know, Aiden Hill finished the job for the Golden Knights on route to the Stanley Cup. You know, Brossoit's got three shutouts, you know, save percentage, goals save above expected, all those stats. You know, he's been excellent.
Yeah.
And, you know, I loved the Monahan line with Ehlers and Toffoli, obviously, not just, you know, what they were doing offensively, but I thought they were excellent defensively. And, you know, I said this as we were watching the third period, Dave, you're not my dad. Logan Stanley and Dylan Sandberg were just lights out on that third pair. And, you know, you wonder, you know, is he the front runner now, right? Like, you know, Drew and I were going back and forth after the Nashville game in the post game show. And I wasn't prepared to say that Logan Stanley is the front runner, but after tonight's game, right? Like, few shots on net, he was throwing his body around and he's just playing a very kind of, I would say, simple game. And I think, you know, Sandberg and Stanley have found some nice chemistry together. So even though Sandberg, I think, you know, you maybe prefer on the left side, I mean, who cares if it's working, right? We've talked about it, Dave. Sandberg's played a little bit on the right side with the Moose, but you know, Stanley and Sandberg were good. I thought Dylan and Pionk, Brendan Dylan, that is, obviously, they had a good bounce back game because they were not good against Nashville, even though Brendan Dylan saved a goal by Cole Smith, as you for those who were watching that game, which I assume most of the people joining us watched that game, right? But just overall, Dave, a really impressive win. I mean, if you can go into Dallas and defeat them 3-0 and not really give them a lot, you know, it bodes really well. And at the end of the day, the Jets are second in the Central right now, and they've got the game in hand.
Well, and you know, as Randall said, and don't worry, Randall, we'll talk about the Gus Bus scoring on his 24th birthday, no less. So he gets back in the lineup after missing the last five games as a healthy scratch. And, you know, look, that's the one thing about this team. These guys are hungry, right? So when they're out, they don't think they're going to be out for a while. But yeah, it's an interesting question as to whether Logan Stanley is going to be able to solidify that spot in the third pairing with Dylan Sandberg. This is an interesting time because everybody was saying, well, you know, they almost got defeated by Nashville. And, you know, Rick Bonus himself admitted it today during the media availability after morning skate in Dallas. He said they had 17 high danger scoring chances against. I mean, you just can't give that up. That's not gonna get it done. And so they needed to play a stifling game. They needed to play a fast game. And to me, Stanberg, I like that. That's a good combo name. But
should we go by Manukberg?
Sure, that'd be fine. But the fact is that this was a statement game. And again, you don't win a Stanley Cup because in game 79 you defeated a rival. But it was definitely a statement game because I think a lot of people were gonna, if the Jets got their asses handed to them by the Dallas Stars tonight, you can sure as hell bet that's a couple of curses already, but you can bet that folks would have been, you know, calling the Jets frauds. But now the Jets, like I said, have won five straight games. Dallas will not clinch the Central Division title tonight with a win because they didn't win. And the Jets, as you just touched on, have now tied the Colorado Avalanche for 102 points. And remember, this is only the second time in the history of the Jets, 2.0. So that's 13 years. And of course, I say that with a qualifier because there was a lockout shortened season in 2012. And of course, there was the COVID shortened season. So that impacted a couple of years. But this team has now won 49 games. So if your record is who you say you are, right now the Jets record says they're one of the best teams in the Western Conference.
Yeah, I don't think you can argue with that. And even though, you know, the game against Nashville, I mean, maybe you liked 20 or 30 minutes of that game. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't matter. You found a way to win, right? Like you gave up a 2-goal lead, but we know how good the Jets have been in OT, and you know, Hellebuck was the difference, which he often is, right? So
yeah,
you know, that's all you could really ask for if you're the Jets, right? Like they go through that 6-game losing streak, and now they've rebounded with 5 wins in a row, right? And I think the game against Colorado, I mean, I there's no reason to expect the Jets to play any differently except for, are they going to be able to do it for 3 full periods? And that's what I liked most about this game. I mentioned the second period, the style of play didn't change from the first to the second. And then obviously there was a pushback from the Stars, but there wasn't a lot of odd man rushes, right? You saw Miro Heiskanen, you know, do his best Bobby Orr impression. And, you know, Lauren Brossoit made the save and Matt Duchene had a good scoring chance in the third period, but that was, you know, kind of it. Like the Jets at no point in this game were caved in or peppered in where you had, right, you know, the puck in the Jet zone for 2 minutes or 3 minutes or anything like that. It was overall a really solid defensive effort. And it really resembled kind of the first 40 to 45 games of the season, as opposed to the last kind of 30 to 33 games of the season or whatever. Right. So a really impressive win. You know, obviously, you know, highlighted by Lauren Brossoit being really solid between the pipes. And, you know, I really liked the Scheifele Connor Vilardi line, right? Like, obviously, that's been something that we've been talking about a lot this year, that, you know, that line has been better with Ehlers on that line.
Yeah.
But I really liked Kyle Connor's back check. I really liked his, you know, second effort defensively as much as, you know, the way he played offensively, right? We know Kyle Connor, what he can do offensively. And obviously, you know, Scheifele was good. Like he's been, I think you'd agree, Dave, over the last couple of weeks, he's been, you know, a little bit quiet at times offensively. So nice to see him get the empty netter, but
yeah.
And, you know, David Gustafson, I don't know if he's going to stay on that third line because obviously, you know, Nito Niederreiter has been a staple of that third line. And you reported this on illegalcurve.com earlier today, Dave. Nito Niederreiter is an option for Saturday. It's not 100% that he's going to play Saturday. We should also mention there's a chance Mikko Rantanen plays on Saturday, Mr. 102 points himself, right? So, I mean, this game on Saturday, it's going to possibly determine, or at least it's going to go a long way, Dave, in determining who's going to finish second in the Central, right? Because as you mentioned, you know, we should clarify, both teams have 104 points, but the Jets have the tiebreaker. So technically the Jets, not technically, the Jets are in second place, but if the Jets and Avalanche are tied in points, the Jets would have the tiebreaker. So Saturday's game is going to be absolutely huge. And again, these are good problems to have. Cole Perfetti, could he be the 13th forward? It's possible. And look, I really like Baron Nemesnikov and Iafallo as a fourth line. I certainly like Iafallo more on the fourth line than I did when he was in the top six.
Yeah, so, for sure.
Again, these are problems to have, right? Like, it kind of, Dave, to me, comes down to, is it going to be Gustafsson or Perfetti as the 12th forward? That's the way I look at it. And, you know, kind of pick your poison, right? Like, do you want a little bit more offense, or do you want a little bit more size and a little bit more defensive responsibility, right? I'm kind of leaning toward David Gustafsson, and that's no offense to Cole Perfetti. I just think his game is kind of tailor-made for the playoffs, right? So I would expect Nino Niederreiter to go back on the third line. I would expect the top two lines to stay the same, Dave. And yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, David Gustafsson comes out of the lineup, but he's always an option to come in on the fourth line, right? So we'll see what happens. But again, just a cliche complete 60-minute effort tonight.
Well, I mean, you can call it a cliche, right? Of course, we know it is, and we often reference these cliches, but this was exactly what has been lacking from the Jets for some time, for too long. And so if you were going to be able to put together a 60-minute effort, it's not like you said, okay, we had a complete 60-minute effort. It was against Arizona or Salt Lake, whatever they're called. It wasn't like you had a 60-minute effort against Anaheim. You had a 60-minute effort against the best team in the Central Division. Dallas came in 107 points, could have clinched the Central with the win. They're leading the Western Conference. So it wasn't, and you know, Jake Ottinger is a good goaltender. And like they were saying on the broadcast, his numbers haven't been to the same level as we expect, but he's been hot of late. And I thought he was good. And hockey's a funny game, right, Ezzy? That shot that trickled between Laurent Brossoit's five hole and looked like it was destined to find the back of the net. It doesn't. Vlad Nemestikov sweeps it away. And then the Jets turn around and score. Nikolai Ehlers gets that goal. But it's just a funny game the way hockey is. And I think I saw it in the chat earlier. Someone said that, you know, the 6-game losing streak feels like a year ago now. And it's just funny how these narratives go, right? And, you know, the key is, of course, not getting too high, not getting too low when they're taking place. But again, you know, if you're the Winnipeg Jets, you're undefeated in April, you're clicking at the right time. You're riding into the, you know, you've only got 3 games left now on the schedule. Now the game 79 is in the past. So it's a lot to take in. Jets fans are excited. What were you going to jump in and say?
Well, no, I like this comment from Skippy. Gus and Big Stan played big boy hockey, which is just what the hockey doctor is calling for. But, you know, I think that the Jets got a boost from David Gustafsson coming into the lineup. Like, you could feel it. And I like that Rick, like, look at, we've criticized Rick Bonus's line combinations, not just us. A lot of Jets fans, obviously, are pretty vocal on social media. We talked about it. Nick Ehlers, you know, being the big one, obviously, you know, his usage, whether it's on the power play or the top line.
Yeah.
But, you know, I like that he puts Gustafsson on the third line and, you know, it results in a goal. Mm-hmm. And it's not an easy position. We've talked about this so many times, Dave. It's not an easy position to be that 13th forward or 14th forward, especially when you're playing well. Like, I thought Gustafsson was playing well before he was taken out of the lineup. And that's hard for a guy, right? When you're doing everything right and you know you're doing everything right, but it's just a matter of forward depth, right? Like, what about Rasmus Kupari? Like, I don't see Rasmus Kupari getting more than one of these last 3 games. Maybe you throw Kupari a bone against Seattle. I don't know. But I mean, Kupari is, he just, I don't see him, I definitely don't see him starting in the playoffs unless there's a bunch of injuries. But Rasmus Kupari, I mean, he's a first round pick. Like, he's a guy who is a regular on the fourth line. in the first half of the season, right? So I just thought that comment from Skippy was good. I really like Gustafson's game. And, you know, Dave, you watched him obviously more than anybody with the Moose. Like, he's just a smart, reliable player. He's not flashy, but he can chip in the odd goal. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what happens. But, you know, I think he's your 13th forward. And, you know, I guess Perfetti would be your 14th forward. And then just do the math. Kupari is your 15th forward. If you're the 15th forward, Dave, you're probably not going to be playing much in the playoffs, right? But, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens these last three games. I don't think you're going to tinker much with the lineup. But I think you probably ideally want to get Nate Schmidt and Colin Miller at least one of these last three games, right?
Yeah, and I think it's also situational, right? So if you have a guy in the top six that you need to take out for a game, then Cole Perfetti is the guy you're going to put in there because that's the role that he's best suited for. If you have a guy in the bottom six come out, well, David Gustafson plays that role better than Cole Perfetti does. So while you can try and turn the fourth line into a bit of a scoring line, because they can with Vlad Nemestikov on it, I mean, ultimately, David Gustafson is going to be that guy who just fits that brand that Adam Lowry and Mason Appleton, for example, are playing, right? As so to me, that's why Gustafson makes a lot of sense on that third line. And you're right. We don't know what's going to happen with Nino Niederreiter. That was some good news from Rick Bonus earlier today, in case you didn't read it on IllegalCurve.com. Shame on you, first of all. But second of all, if you didn't read it, he basically said there wasn't much of an update other than they'll continue to push him after practice today and after practice tomorrow. They're supposed to practice tomorrow in Colorado or somewhere. Yeah, somewhere in Colorado. And then they'll know whether he's going to play. It's a 3 o'clock game, of course, on Saturday, which he'll be joining us here on the Illegal Curve postgame show after joining us on the Illegal Curve hockey show. So it'll be a lot of Illegal Curve on Saturday. It'll be a lot of fun. That's what we do here. And every time the Jets play, and remember what you have to do, enjoy the chat. Be kind to everybody else. Smash that like button and make sure you're subscribing to this channel.
I like it. And yeah, we had the comment up there. I just wanted to also mention, I thought Craig Button made a really good point during the first intermission about Tyler Toffoli on the second line versus Cole Perfetti. And you saw it, right? Like, it was, you saw it on the first goal, right? Tyler Toffoli goes to the net, causes a bit of chaos. And obviously there was a giveaway from Thomas Harley. I'm not sure how there were two assists on that goal, by the way. It wasn't really being discussed on the broadcast. Like, Thomas
Harley took him away.
Oh, they did. Okay, good. Because Thomas Harley clearly coughed up the puck to Nikolai Ehlers.
Yeah.
But it was because you had pressure. Sean Monahan was in front of the net. Toffoli was buzzing in front of the net. So, I mean, again, Dave, based on the way the Jets played tonight, why would you break any of this up going into a crucial game against Colorado? We talked about it. The Jets could end up being 2 points up with the tiebreaker, which kind of, if you want to look at that, it's essentially being, you know, 2+ points up with two games left, right? And you know the Jets are going to beat Seattle, or they should beat Seattle. There's always the trap game element, right? But I don't see the Jets, you know, changing much up. Like, maybe you bring in Nate Schmidt. Maybe you bring in Colin Miller. But I see them maybe doing that the last two games of the year. I wouldn't be surprised if you go with the exact same 20-man lineup against Colorado, Dave. I mean, that's just my opinion. But at the very least, why would you take Gustafson out of the lineup? What would the reason be? Would it be to get Rasmus Kupari a game in? Like, certainly you're not going to get Cole Perfetti a game in, right? So
no.
I could see Gustafson staying in. I could see Logan Stanley staying in, certainly. And then maybe you get Nate Schmidt his game against Seattle.
Yeah, you're 100% right. And quite frankly, I don't even know if I'm rushing Nino Niederreiter back. I don't know that there's an advantage to get. Like, again, I understand he's a very effective player. And if he's ready to go, then he's a very good player. And so you'd want
to. And maybe, sorry, Dave, to cut you off just quickly. Maybe if Nino is ready to go, maybe, you know, you have him on the fourth line. Gustafson stays on the third line. Maybe Gus Bus is on the fourth line. Maybe you give Iafallo a night off. I have no idea. But again, these are good problems to have. At the end of the day, whether you have Iafallo, Gustafson, or Niederreiter on the fourth line, I think Rick Bonus and Scott Arneil and the coaching staff have just as much confidence in any one of those players again, right? So we had a comment up earlier, you know, is it Gustafson versus Perfetti for the 13th forward? Yeah, it looks like it right now. I don't think Iafallo is a good fourth line player. I think when he's on the second line, he gets maybe overwhelmed a little bit in terms of, you know, he's not creative enough offensively. No offense to him, right? I just think he's better on in a third or fourth line role. So again, whether it's Perfetti or Gustafsson or Iafallo on the fourth line, you know, I have absolutely no problem with any one of those three players. These are good problems for the coaching staff to have, right?
Yeah, and I think I just saw a stat that said the Jets lead the NHL with 43 regulation wins. So not too shabby for these Jets to be winning these games in regulation. And again, like we said, I'm with you, Ez. I would tend to leave this lineup alone. I think when you're going to give guys opportunities to get back in the lineup, is that Seattle game against Vancouver. And look, those games may have some meaning. And Rick Bowness was asked about it before the Jets left. I don't remember when exactly it was, but he was asked, you know, are you going to give guys some rest? And he said, well, that could be counterproductive. You know, you want to give a guy, a couple of days off. Well, maybe that, you know, takes them out of their rhythm. So, you know, we'll see what the Jets end up doing. I had some folks asking what the score was in the Frozen Four. And it looks like Rutger McGroarty and his Michigan Wolverines are down 3-0 right now, Ezzy, to BC. So Boston College up over the Michigan Wolverines 3-0 in the Frozen Four. Denver advanced. And Denver, of course, has Garrett Brown, who is a fourth rounder of the Winnipeg Jets. He had season-ending surgery earlier this season, so he's not playing in it. But I'm sure he's very happy to see his Denver teammates moving along and the Pioneers going to the finals of the Frozen Four. But as this isn't about, we're not a college hockey show, and we're not going to talk about what's going to happen with Rutger McGroarty. We don't know what's going
to
happen.
Hey, the Jets like to take their American college players, right? We know that over the years. So
that is true.
People want to know this, right? So I have no problem with that update, Dave. I appreciate that. The thing with the Frozen Four, as you know, that makes it, you know, so unique and so exciting is that it's single game elimination, right? Like, so it's not like it's not like the World Juniors where you go through this like long preliminary round followed by quarterfinals and semifinals, right? It's like, you know, you play each team and then that's it, right?
Yeah.
And then you have the final, right? So it's, we're biased. We're rooting for Michigan. But Boston College and Wisconsin, who's the other team? I'm forgetting who the other team is.
Denver.
I said Denver. Boston College, Denver. Who's the fourth team? Michigan, Denver, Boston College.
Yeah, Denver beat
Quinnipiac? I have no idea.
No.
I know
no,
UND's
no,
not there.
No, no.
By the way, shout out to Jackson Blake, son of Jason Blake, just because the UND is the only team that I obviously watch in person, right?
Yeah.
Shout out to our boy Kyle Kozier, who hooked me up with a nice seat in the box back in October. But Jackson Blake, son of Jason Blake, was nominated for the Hobie Baker Award. So I'm not sure if he's going to win it because obviously Macklin Celebrini. Oh.
Boston University,
there you go.
BU, lost to Denver.
Yeah.
And Boston College is taking on Michigan.
And Macklin Celebrini, of course, is on...
Joe Biscucci also just said that coincidentally, the exact...
Yeah, Macklin Celebrini is on Boston College and... Sorry, Boston University. Mm-hmm. And what's funny is that a lot of people thought Lane Hudson, Montreal Canadiens second-round pick, should have been a Hobie Baker finalist. So, again, Michigan stacked, but so is Boston University. And like we talked... I mean, all these teams are so good, right? Like, I think a lot of people that don't follow it don't realize how good these teams really are.
Absolutely. Well, we'll be talking about this on Saturday's Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Join us from 9 to 11. Who else will be joining us? Wendell Clark. So
huge. I was pretty pumped when Drew sent us that text because he said he was going to try to get either Wendell Clark or Doug Gilmore, which hashtag obviously we would be happy to have 17 or 39/93 for those who remember his numbers on the Leafs and the Flames, right? So yeah, Wendell Clark. I mean, I already have Mike. I have to ask him about that 1993 run when we almost saw the Leafs and the Habs in the final. But Wendell Clark, one of the most beloved Leafs captains of all time, for sure.
Yeah, so we're going to have a lot of fun on Saturday. Hopefully you'll join us there. This, of course, is the Illegal Curve post-game show. We do this each and every time the Winnipeg Jets play. What's your responsibility? Have a good time in the chat. Smash that like button. Make sure you're subscribing to our show. Not a lot of responsibility, but those are the things we ask of you.
Dave, I want to mention also, we got Rennie coming on the show. I don't want to just diminish Sean Reynolds coming on the show.
Yeah.
So we've got Sean Reynolds coming on at 9:30. Obviously, you know him from Sportsnet and the Kenny and Rennie postgame show, or just Kenny and Rennie. So
yeah.
Also, Sean Reynolds texted me because he saw me picking up my kids after school. So I got to give him a shout out. He's patrolling River Heights. I'm not sure if he lives in River Heights, actually. Does Sean live in River Heights?
I don't believe he does. No.
But
no.
Anyways, he'll be on the show. So Reynolds and Wendell Clark, it's going to be a great one.
The names are synonymous. All right, let's head it to the Betway game recap. We only have three goals to discuss, so the preamble went a little long, but we'll hit it right now.
The Betway game recap.
The Betway game recap is brought to you by Betway, one of the most trusted voices in sports betting, both in Canada and all around the world. Betway is the sports betting app that puts you, the customer, at the forefront with a large selection of betting options in sports, as well as strong promotions and fair odds. What are you waiting for, Ezzy? Head on over to Betway and bet your way. Must be 19 years or older to play. Please play responsibly. Well, first of all, as we got to mention, because it was a milestone, and you know, the folks know I love the potpourri, and Doug, perfect timing from Doug Thorosky, because I was going to mention it. Doug beat me to it with his tweet, with his message in the chat. 700 games.
How has Lowry played 700 games already?
700 games. Drafted him. Well, you were there in St. Paul in 2011 when the Jets took him in the third round. And they were the Jets when they drafted him. We didn't know what they were going to be called until they drafted Mark Scheifele. But 700 games for the Alberta product. So that's a big milestone for him. He's still 384 games short of what his dad has played, Big Jungle Dave Lowry, currently an assistant coach with the Seattle Kraken, and former assistant coach of the Winnipeg Jets. So congrats to the captain. That's a pretty big milestone, and he got the start to kind of set the tone in Dallas, Ezzy. And the tone was set pretty much from the get-go. I thought both teams, it wasn't a particularly high event first period.
No.
But I thought both teams were in the game. Like, I thought that, you know, neither team really kind of like established dominance for any, like you said that, and you mentioned, and I agree, for any significant period of time. There were stretches where you'd see a little bit of pressure, but then a good defensive play, team would break it out, and then they'd go the other way, turn it around for a chance their way.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And the thing is, you know, with this Dallas Stars team, it's not like the thing with Dallas and Winnipeg is like, you know, you'd give, you know, the Jets the advantage in goal, maybe, especially with Jake Oettinger's not having as dominant a season, maybe, as he has in previous years. But like, when you're talking about their forward depth, Dallas's forward depth, there's a reason why, you know, they're first in the division, right? And, you know, I thought the Wyatt Johnston, Stankoven, Jamie Benn line was their best line. But for the most part, you know, I thought the Duchesne, Seguin, Marchment line, I guess if you want to call that your third line, you know, because the Rupe Hintz, Jason Robertson line, that's your top line. But I didn't think that line and who am I forgetting there? Joe Pavelski, obviously, centering. Yeah. I didn't think that line did much throughout the course of the game, let alone the first period, right? Like, I just thought it was a kind of a quiet game. Like, Jason Robertson, you saw him on the power play. I remember he had a decent shot on net, and he was noticeable. I'm not saying that Jason Robertson didn't do anything, but, you know, Robertson's been a bit of a Jets killer. Not just this season, but over the last, you know, few years. Obviously, you know, he just recently had his breakout season, right? So I thought for the most part, like, the Jets just did a good job of managing the puck. I remember Pionk had that giveaway. And I'm trying to remember who was it, Sam Steele? I think it was Sam Steele, Dave, that had the breakaway. And I'm trying to remember if he got the shot off or if he passed it. But Pionk whiffed on the puck. And again, I'm not, you know, knocking Pionk here, because I thought he was actually pretty solid today for the Jets. But aside from that, there was like that one mistake in the first period. So they played really mistake-free hockey, I thought, in the first period. And they just kind of were, you know, suffocating the Stars. And they did more of that in the second period, right? Like, the thing with the Stars is, when you've got defensemen like Miro Heiskanen, you know, we talked about Thomas Harley coughed up the puck on the Ehlers goal, but, you know, Esa Lindell, Nils Lundqvist. I mean, yeah, like Ryan Suter, he's not, you know, a young guy anymore. He's not the fastest guy, but the Stars defense is mobile. And I thought the Jets just really didn't give them any time and space. And the Stars just weren't generating. I mean, it's kind of like the opposite of what we saw in the Nashville game, right? Like Nashville was just getting into the Jet zone. It would be like they would regroup, Jets would get it out, Predators would come back, get a shot.
Yeah.
Like it was the opposite. The Jets weren't necessarily getting a ton of shots. Like there wasn't the shot volume in the first period, but I just thought they were just playing a very smart, structured, and I know this is boring to some people to talk about, but they were just playing like a really smart game. Mm-hmm. And they weren't giving Dallas anything, right? So, and you kind of got that sense, like, again, when the Jets were the most successful, and I think you'd agree, Dave, through the first 40 to 45 games, including that 34-game stretch where they only allowed, they didn't allow more than three goals,
yeah,
that's what you're doing to teams. Like, teams just didn't have time and space out there, and, you know, the Jets were opportunistic tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that first period was fairly even. Maybe you give a little bit of an edge to the Jets. But each team only had a couple of decent chances and you know, it was kind of more of the same throughout the game. So just, you know, that's what you want to see. Like we talked about it on last Saturday's show. Like Drew said, what do you want to see in the last six games? Well, you want to see the Jets play the same way through three periods. We didn't see that against Nashville, but we certainly saw that tonight. And, you know, the Jets get full marks for this 3-0 victory. This was not, a fluky victory. This is not Lauren Brossoit stealing the game. Yeah. This was the Jets being the better team from start to finish, in my opinion.
No, I you're absolutely right. And you know, the one player we have to highlight, and I know you won't object to this, Ezzie, is Dylan Sandberg. Because you know, you don't necessarily get credit for the saving goals, but he saved two goals, I thought, in tonight's game in the first period, which was moments before, and I mentioned this in our little preamble, but moments before the Jets scored that opening goal of the game, which turned out to be the game-winning goal by Nikolaj Ehlers, Dylan Sandberg had the presence of mind to realize the ref hadn't blown the whistle. You know what they say, play till the whistle. And Dylan Sandberg, who's behind the Jets net, comes around it, sees the puck is rolling in the Jets crease between, whatchamacallit, between Lauren Brossoit's legs. And again, presence of mind, because Jamie Benn, he goes right around Brossoit and he's looking for that puck because he knows that he's listening. Again, he's a veteran. He's listening to the ref. The ref hasn't blown the whistle. So he's got to think that puck is still loose somewhere. So you like the fact that Sandberg had the heads up to get in front, to get from behind the net to the front, get into the blue paint, protect it, get that puck out, and then Vlad Nemestikov helped him. But I just thought that play deserves highlighting because we tend to focus on goals, especially during the recap. And,
The most important thing too, Dave, is it was a great play by, was it on Wyatt Johnston or Stankoven? I forget. It was on one of those two players when he took the penalty, but.
No, that's in the second. Yeah. We'll get to that after. I'm talking about the one in the first period though. Right. So
yeah,
my point is that we don't tend to highlight the kills as much, but that play is as critical to keeping Dallas off the score sheet and giving the Jets the ability to score next and get that momentum like they were able to.
Yeah. And another thing about this game is that, you know, it wasn't the most exciting game, let's be honest here, but, you know, the Jets didn't get a power play until the third period.
Right.
Right. So it's like, this was just complete even strength dominance. That's the thing. It's not like the Jets relied on special teams or the power play let them down. Right. We've talked about that so much. This was just the Jets playing a solid even strength game against one of the best even strength teams in the league. Right. So it was impressive. And again, we're not giving the Jets the Stanley Cup. You know, we're not planning the parade route down Portage Avenue right now. But look, this is the Stars are one of the best teams in the league, as are the Jets. But the Stars have had the Jets number. So this is significant. And again, you know, we don't know if the Jets are going to continue this against Colorado. We've seen a little bit of the Jekyll and Hyde Jets for sure. We saw it against Nashville. You know, we definitely saw it on that six game losing streak, but again, five wins in a row, you're tied with the Avalanche. I mean, it wasn't too long ago that the Jets were 4 points back with the same number of games played. Right. So
look,
the Jets are in a good position. And again, you got to give them the credit for clawing back and coming into Dallas and just playing a complete road game. And that's what I like. Again, you know, we've been critical sometimes when the Jets win games, but I can't be that critical. And again, I don't think it was perfect, Dave. I'm not saying that the Jets, you know, this was like a masterpiece.
No,
but it was pretty close.
It was as close as, I mean, look, again, like I said, it wasn't like you were playing the worst team in the league and you had a really good game. you're playing one of the best teams in the league and you had a really good game. So
yeah, exactly.
Like we said, there's so Dylan Sandberg, he makes the initial play to keep the puck out of the net. And that proved to be big because a few seconds later, I was going to say a few minutes later, Ezzy, but I don't believe it was more than, in fact, I believe they were still showing the replay on the broadcast before my TV had a seizure. I think that was in the second period where all of a sudden it started doing something wackadoo. And I asked the folks and you're muted.
What was happening?
Did you hear that too?
Yeah, it was weird. It was like, I don't even know how to describe, like, how would you even describe that? It was just like weird, random.
I described it like my TV was having a seizure.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and then I put that out on Twitter and then everybody else was like, yes, mine too. So I knew it was, and I just, you know, it reset itself shortly thereafter, but that was a little bit after this play, the play we got to talk about. The Jets having good pressure in the Dallas zone. And, you know, Rick Bowness talked about, it's funny because I know that Jets Nation was upset with Rick Bowness removing Nikolaj Ehlers from that top line. But one of the things that Rick Bowness talked about was how good Toffoli, Monahan, Ehlers line had been together. And he was actually reluctant to break them up and he didn't really want to. He was trying to actually get the Ehlers up there on that first line to kind of get that line going. So he puts them back together. And I know that, you know, Jets fans weren't particularly pleased because of the way Scheifele and Connor had been getting caved in. But ultimately, he does go back to that line of the Monahan to Foley with him being healthy now and Ehlers. And I know that a lot of folks have been seeing that Ehlers is playing like a tough game, a strong game, you know, digs in. And you just have to like the fact that he's in a good spot, right? He gets himself into soft ice. And it's not a characteristic Nikolaj Ehlers goal where he's, you know, flying down the wing and rifles a shot top corner. But again, like I said, he loses himself in there and Toffoli and Monahan creating chaos in front of the net. And you just like the fact that Ehlers is just, again, aggressive, puts that puck in on Ottinger on the backhand, and the Jets have a 1-0 lead.
Yeah, and, you know, it makes – so we talked about this earlier, right? Like, Alex Iafallo, you know, did an admirable job when he was needed to play in the top six. Tyler Toffoli spent some time on the third line, right? But Tyler Toffoli was not acquired you know, to play on the third or fourth line. He was acquired to play in your top six. He was acquired, I think, specifically to play on Sean Monahan's line, right? Because we know that Connor Scheifele and Vilardi, they've played so much together this year. And obviously, you know, Ehlers is the third guy on that second line. And that line was excellent. I was going to check natural stat trick. I'm sure that, you know, their expected goals and shot share and everything like that were on point. I'm just, you know, checking it out here. Maybe it was a Lowry, Gustafson, they had the best expected goals. Ehlers, Monahan, Toffoli right there. Toffoli was the third of the trio there. But yeah, I mean, you know, this is just to me, you know, Monahan wins the draw and, you know, gets the point shot back to Stanley. And it's just, you know, good work, you know, down low and just pressuring Dallas's defense. And yeah, Dallas gets a little bit out of their structure there. And we talked about it. I mean, look, it's a giveaway. But again, it's Sean Monahan causing a little bit of chaos in front of the net. If I'm not mistaken, it's Radek Faksa there in front of the net. Monahan and Faksa were battling. And then, look, Harley gives up a free pizza. And it's not a beautiful goal, like you said, Dave. Like, you know, we're used to seeing Ehlers score these end-to-end goals where, you know, he uses his speed and goes through all these guys. But again, for Ehlers, who, look, he only played, what did he play, 9 minutes last game?
Yeah.
Like, he's been in and out of Rick Bonus's doghouse, you know, as of late. So give Ehlers credit. These are the games that matter. The last four games of the season, right? Like, now three games left, but these are the games that matter. And that was a huge goal. That's what you want to do, right? It was a bit of a sleepy first period. The Jets were playing good defensively, but there wasn't a lot of odd man rushes that I can remember. We talked about the Sam Steele chance, which was late in the first period, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that was late in the first period. It was that early second period. I want to say it was late first period.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, it's a bit of a, like, that's the type of goal that, you know, Mason Appleton scores, right, Dave? Or Nino Niederreiter scores.
Yeah.
So, you know, you kind of like to see that. And obviously, you know, you're not going to expect Ehlers to turn into a grinder.
But like, that's Ehlers, a, those Ehlers are playoff type talented goals, right, Ezzy?
Yeah, exactly. And look, you go back, you know, last year or certain years, what's the criticism been of Ehlers? He kind of goes a little bit quiet in the playoffs, right?
Mm-hmm.
He certainly doesn't have the same, you know, point totals that, you know, Scheifele and Connor and other players have. And so the Jets are going to need Ehlers in that second round. Like I mentioned it to you, right? Like whether or not Mikko Rantanen plays Saturday, it looks like he is going to be ready for the first round. You know, all you can do is contain players like Nathan MacKinnon and Mikko Rantanen. And then what you have to do is you have to shut down the secondary players, right? So the Jets are going to need all four lines, not just in the first round, but if they want to go on a long run, right? So you get the first period goal, you get the 1-0 lead, and that was huge. And I thought the Monahan to Foley Ehlers line was just, they just had a good game overall. And like we talked about, I don't think you're going to see that line broken up anytime soon. I would expect that line to play against Colorado, and I would expect that line to stick together for the playoffs.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And we should mention, as because, of course, we love Useless Potpourri on the show. Well, I specifically love Useless Potpourri, as he loves eating Useless Potpourri. I spout it. But that was the 200th goal.
I like the smell. Sorry, Dave. I was going to say, I like the smell of potpourri in very small samples.
All right. Fair enough.
I don't want to be near potpourri, but it's nice when someone has a little bowl of potpourri in the bathroom.
Classy, if I recall correctly from your words last
very,
time.
Very 1990s.
Yeah. It's like adding some mothballs to your drawer or something.
Let's get a little poll going in the chat, Dave. How many people have potpourri in their home?
Sure, we can do that. I mean, I could do that. I literally could do it, but
I just spray Glade in my house. Like I just go in every room and I'm just spraying Glade.
Well, I was going to say the useless potpourri that as he doesn't spray is that that was the 200th NHL goal for Nikolaj Ehlers. So a memorable one, a game winning goal for the dashing Dane, the highest scoring Danish player in NHL history. So not bad for him. And
who's second, Mikhail Bodker?
That's a good question. I'm not sure who this is. No, isn't it? What's his name? Sorry, Ezzy, my all time. I mean, I don't want to name drop, but I was talking to a Hall of Famer earlier today at the Moose game, but I won't name drop. I don't like to name drop on this show. So
who was it?
Well, let's just say he scored a critical goal against Canada. Shootout goal. IAIHF Hall of Fame.
Hold on. He scored a critical goal for Canada or against Canada? At what level?
Olympics.
Oh, I'm going to say father of Christian Reichel. Robert Reichel. Wow. Yeah. You talked to Robert Reichel today.
I did.
I'm very jealous of that.
Yeah. You muted yourself, Ezzy.
I'm going to go on a tangent here. Yeah. I'm going to go on a tangent a little bit here. 1998 for Czechia. He was incredible.
Yeah. No, anyway, so that's we'll get to that when we do our Moose stuff. But for now, we're going to continue with the Jets and figure out what's going on with, you know, a team that's now up 1-0. I don't have connections, Oscar the Grouch. I happen to be watching Moose practice and he was there watching his kids. So that's a different story. But look, Jets up 1-0 on the goal by Nikolaj Ehlers and a very good first period for Winnipeg. So, you know, they're feeling it. And to me, it was also the big question, and we know that the Frosty wants to check Ezzy's mic. Everybody's checking Ezzy's mic. Ezzy's checking his mic right now. But anywho, Barlow is not getting in the lineup. We got a one second from Ez. I'll do a little soliloquy. Hold on. Aaron's asking, it said longtime listener, many time commenter, headed to bed, and I'll take my response on the podcast tomorrow. Is the Jets, Panthers, Jets, Jennings fight going to propel the Jets into that defensive focus through 82? Good question. Ezzy and I were talking about the Jennings and whether they'll get Laurent Brossoit in or not. I might have to go downstairs and help Ezzy with his mic in a second, but I will admit that for the folks who are watching right now, that is the most frustrating thing that we can do here on the show is try and get those stupid mics to work. It's very annoying, but you know, like I said, we'll give Ez a second. Just take your time, Ez. We're good. And hopefully you're back. And there, let's see. Can we hear him? Let's make sure he's.
I think I'm back.
You are back. All right. No touching the mic anymore, Ez. No touching the mic.
No, we're good. Sorry about that, everybody. Yeah, there was a little bit of an issue there, but yeah, let's continue on with the Betway game recap.
All right.
A couple of loose cords here, Dave. As you know, people can't see all the things that I've plugged in here.
There's nothing more that I love. Back, so. By the way, there's nothing I love more than me saying to you, Ezzy, don't touch the mic again. Then you literally touch the mic again.
Well, no, I mean, I'm not doing it on purpose, right?
No, like, I know. You just do it as whatever.
Like, people don't see it here, but, you know, I've got my webcam. I've got my microphone.
Lots plugged in.
You know, so Yeah, but obviously, you know, coming in nice now, right?
You're coming in good. You're coming in hot. The chat is hot. There's so many of you that are joining us after the Jets defeat the Stars 3-0. This, of course, is the Legal Curve post-game show. We bring it to you each and every time the Jets play a hockey game, win or lose. This year, Ezzy, they've won more times than they've lost. 49 times, specifically 43 in regulation, which is the most in the NHL. We head to the second period with the Jets up 1-0 after a pretty even first period, like we said, and like we talked about, through 20. 9-8 were the shots. And then the Jets, Dallas came out, I thought, pretty much a house on fire, I thought, to start that second period. I think they were outshooting the Winnipeg 5-1 at one point. But then eventually the Jets got back, started to kind of take control of the shot count, ended at 13-9. And more importantly, on his 24th birthday, Ezzy, David Gustafson, the Gus Bus, after missing the last five games as a healthy scratch, he gets back into the lineup. And actually, we got to credit Dylan Sandberg. I thought he had an excellent game, both offensively and defensively. But Dylan Sandberg, and this was kind of a broken lineup because Mark Scheifele was on the line with these guys. But Mark Scheifele gets that puck over to Mason Appleton. And then Mason Appleton puts it over to Dylan Sandberg. Dylan Sandberg fires on net, and the Gus Bus in the right place, going to the right place in the right time. That's all you need. And that's all you can ask for a guy like David Gustafson. And he gets it. Of course, it's not exactly a snipe show, but you know what, Ez? Because it is his birthday, we're calling it the Seagram's shot of the game.
The Seagram's shot of the game.
So whether we're giving that to David Gustafson or Dylan Sandberg for the shot, we reward David Gustafson because it is his 24th birthday, but his goal being in the right place at the right time as he gives the Jets a 2-0 lead.
Yeah, hold on. I'll give my thoughts on the goal here. I got something here. If you score a goal on your birthday and we're doing the Legal Curve post-game show, Ginsburg does a shot of a fireball. This is getting pretty low here, Dave. So
yeah. Oh, direct shot. That's a direct shot, folks. That wasn't even just he didn't even put it into a little dainty glass. He just
fireball goes down so easy. Yeah, Gus Bus scores a big goal. Hold on, I might have a little burp coming here. Scores a big goal on his birthday. And as you mentioned, Dave, this is just a nice, hardworking goal. As you mentioned, Dylan Sandberg was playing nice defensive hockey, making a big play. And if there's any time you want to take a penalty, it's like he did to break up the goal.
Yeah, absolutely.
I forget if it was Stank. I want to say it was Wyatt Johnston, but he obviously does the diving thing and knocks the net off behind Lauren Brossoit. But, you know, nice to see the third line get the goal here. And, you know, again, you know, Sandberg and just a nice little deflection by David Gustafson right in front of the net. And it was good work by that third line and a crafty deflection. And, you know, Gustafson, I went back and checked. He hadn't played since March 28th versus Vegas.
Yep.
So that's, you know, I don't know if that's exactly 2 weeks, but it's roughly 2 weeks.
Five games.
And he's only played, 35, 40 games, something like that this year. And we talked about it. It's not an enviable position for any player, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like, you know, a few years back, Dominic Toninato, right, Dave, was kind of in that position.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's been played more games with the Moose than he has with the Jets this year. And he's been playing well for the Moose, as you know. But yeah, just a nice deflection, nice low shot from Dylan Sandberg. And I really like Gustafson's presence on that third line. And, you know, none of us are going to be surprised if as early as Saturday, when Nino Niederreiter could come back, if he goes right back on that third line. But again, he has shown that he fits in nicely on that third line. So if Rick Bowness and the coaching staff wants to use Gus Bus on that third line, they can. Looks like right now he's, you know, going to be that 13th, 14th forward. But again, you know, just nice to see him because it hasn't been like, look, I'm not saying that, you know, Gus Bus is going to complain about his situation. But as you know, Dave, all hockey players, they want to be playing games. So nobody wants to be spending, you know, half the time in the press box, half the time on the ice. And that's what Gus Bus has done this year. Obviously, there's the injury, right? He had the injury earlier this year. So that factors in as well. But you love to see that. I mean, just like we've talked about when Nate Schmidt's been out of the lineup and then he comes back and he gets a goal. Or he has a good game. You just love to see that. It's just it's a good redemption story. So he's definitely deserving of the Seagram shot of the game.
Yeah, and you know, look, you mentioned Dylan Sandberg's defensive play on that it was a bit of a questionable decision by the Jets, because all five guys were heading up ice while the Stars had a quick counter after a bad turnover, and suddenly it's a 2-on-0. But give Dylan Sandberg credit. He comes back, he breaks it up, and then, of course, takes the penalty. There were not a lot of penalties in the hockey game. That was, I think, Sandberg's was the second penalty of the game. No, that was the first penalty. Then Mark Scheifele got that tripping penalty against Miro Heiskanen in the third period. But Sandberg, with 4 minutes to go, he takes that penalty. Jets PK looked good, actually. I have to give them credit. They played that pretty. They were aggressive. I saw that comment in the chat, and I agree with them. You wanted to see a little bit more fire in the Jets and not so passive. And I thought that they were a little better on the PK. And then sometimes you're good. Sometimes you're lucky. Sometimes you have to be lucky to be good. And the Jets, as the second period wound down, as he shot, beats Laurent Brossoit, does not beat the post, and then it falls right between his legs, and he's able to cover the puck. So
Thomas Harley, Dave, was who put it on net there.
Yeah.
And that, to me, was probably the best sequence, because you remember it was the Jamie Benn line. We talked about the Wiley veteran playing with the kids, Logan Stankoven and Wyatt Johnston, and Jamie Benn on that. I guess you call that the third line. I'm not sure if you call that the third line or the second line. We'll call it the third line for now. I mean, it's crazy that that's your third line.
Right.
But again, I mean, you could say the same thing about the Jets, right? Like, you could say Nino Niederreiter could easily be on your second line, but he's been a staple of the third line, right?
Yeah.
I just thought Jamie Benn was really determined, right? Like, he was hunting the puck. He was going behind the net, getting the puck back to Thomas Harley. And like you said, it could have easily been 2-1 Jets, but look, the post is a goalie's best friend, right?
That's absolutely right. So that being the state, as after 40 minutes, it was 2-0 for the, it was deflected twice, but ultimately it ends up underneath Laurent Brossoit on his way to his third shutout of the season. Let me tell you, as Ez and I discussed during the third period, he has earned himself quite a nice deal, and he will not be wearing Winnipeg Jets colors next season.
Never say never, right, Dave? But like, come on. I mean,
in this instance, I'll say never say, I'll say never.
And and a lot of people know I'm a Devils fan. Like, wouldn't Laurent Brossoit look good in a Devils jersey? Like, regardless if who he goes to, he's going to get a significant pay raise. And just, you know, we had the comment up earlier about the Jennings Trophy, Dave, and this is maybe a better topic for Saturday morning show.
Sure.
I honestly don't know how much the Jets coaching staff thinks about that. I think they're aware of it.
Look at
Laurent Brossoit has had an excellent season. I think he's even exceeded most people's expectations, but Hellebuck most likely is going to start against Colorado. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we should mention this, Dave, because you mentioned this to me while we were watching the game. He just has to get into 25 games. He doesn't have to start 25 games.
Right.
So my kind of, like, you know, if you're just thinking logically here, Connor Hellebuck starts against Colorado, Brossoit plays against Seattle, and then Hellebuck plays the last game of the year against Vancouver. I guess if the game's meaningless, maybe Brossoit plays that last game, but he has to get into 3 games, I believe, right?
Yep,
25. To be eligible for the Jennings Trophy. So at the end of the day, I think Laurent Brossoit is going to still be happy. I think Brossoit would prefer second place in the Central and his team getting home ice advantage than getting his name on the Jennings Trophy. But the other thing I mentioned to you, Dave, is I don't know if there's some bonus in his contract where maybe he gets a little bit, you know, maybe he gets $50,000 or something if he gets his name on the Jennings Trophy. I have no idea. But at the end of the day, if the Jets end up finishing second and let's say, you know, Hellebuck wins the Jennings Trophy, I'm sure Connor Hellebuck's going to take Laurent Brossoit out for a nice dinner.
Well, and remember, there's also a team called the Florida Panthers who are just 2 goals behind. The Jets have given up 194 goals, the Panthers 196, but the Jets have, of course, played 1 less game than Florida. So Florida concluded they actually shut out Columbus tonight. I think it was 3-0 or 4-0. So they've got 2 more games to play. The Jets, of course, have 3 more games. So there's no determining. We don't know if the Jets are even going to win. It'll be an interesting game against Colorado Avalanche. That is a Saturday topic. This, of course, is the Illegal Kirk Post Game Show. We're breaking it down. Not much to break down in terms of, we don't really break down empty net goals. As if you want, we can. Of course, the Jets, again, had to kill a penalty. So that was the PK was good. I thought, again, for the Mark Scheifele tripping penalty on Miro Heiskanen. So they were able to kill that one. And then Tyler Seguin was less than pleased, taking a tripping penalty against Mason Appleton. By the way, Mason Appleton, who had two assists on the game, as he, a guy a lot of Jets fans were pillaring earlier, a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago.
I don't get that, because I think this has been his best year.
Well, he's had, like, I mean, he had a stretch where
he's had a stretch, like, but Dave, he's been a staple of that third line all year long.
Who on the team hasn't had a stretch?
Well, exactly, right? Like, I mean, the only guy that, you know, comes to mind is maybe Mark Scheifele really hasn't gone through, you know, more than maybe a 3 or 4 game stretch. But I mean, Mason Appleton, his previous career high was 25 points. He's got 14 goals now and 35 points in 79 games on the third line. And he gets a lot of ice time. Don't get me wrong, right?
Like,
he gets a lot of PK time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Brick Bonus obviously uses the second line a lot, but like 35 points on your second line, that's, you know, for him, that's a career year. And, you know, he has been relied upon a lot this season. So again, I don't really get the criticism of Mason Appleton. Look, I get it. Maybe, you know, you could argue that, you know, Appleton, you know, could be on the fourth line and then someone else, everything like that. But I mean, the numbers don't lie. You know, he's been solid all year long for the Jets, despite, you know, going through that, what was that, 15 to 20 games where he didn't score a goal.
My point is that for the folks who are saying the Jets are going to sign Rutger McGroarty and replace him with Mason Appleton, I would say, I don't think so.
No,
I
don't, hold your breath on that one.
Yeah, I would not hold my breath on that one. I think Rutger McGroarty, if he signs, and it sounds like, if I saw the chat correctly, Michigan lost tonight. So we'll hear from him.
You think Larry Simmons is already like on a contract in front of Rutger McGroarty? Like, would any of us be surprised if they announce his contract signing tomorrow?
No, I mean, we won't. But I also wouldn't be surprised if he signs an ATO and goes and plays with the Moose for the remainder of the season at / playoffs. And hey, that'd be a fun reunification of
Arlo and McGroarty, right?
Colby Barlow and Rutger McGroarty. And I think if you're really asking me where I think Rutger McGroarty is best served, not selfishly, because of course that's what we do here on this show, cover the Moose as well. But
does he burn an entry level year though, Dave? If he does that, he does.
I think he does regardless. I think it's going to do it regardless. If he signs the NHL deal, and it depends.
I don't know if that really matters, does it?
No, I think that they're prepared to probably do that for him anyways. So yeah. I mean, it's kind of how they entice guys. If you remember, that's how they got Andrew Kopp to come and sign. They've done it on the variety. I think Brandon Tanev did similar, where he played 3 games and that sort of thing. So
I don't think Rutger McGroarty is jumping over Cole Perfetti and David Gustafson into the lineup. I think getting some time with the Moose and hopefully going on a long Calder Cup run.
Yeah.
And look, the Moose did not have a good first half of the season, but as you know, they've been great in the second half of the season. Their winning percentage is, it's like double what it was in the first half of the season, right, Dave? Yeah,
it's been
so. I mean, I would love to see Rutger play for the Moose.
Yeah, I mean, and like I said, that's look, we don't even know if Colby Barlow is going to play. We'll know tomorrow, so make sure you stay tuned to AlleleCurve.com. We chatted with Colby Barlow, so if you didn't see that, that's of course on our YouTube channel, which you're watching right now. So don't watch that yet, but you can watch it after the game. Jets, as he will get into the finish of the third period, they go on to put in the empty net. That's Mark Scheifele's 25th goal. Kyle Connor and Mason Appleton get the assists. Jets up 3-0. Hold on to get that win. Stars took a too many men penalty with about 1:07 left, so the Jets were able to end the game in the Stars zone, preserving Laurent Brossoit's 6th career shutout, his 3rd of the season. And the Jets go on to win 3-0, the 49th win of the season. Just the second time in the 2.0 history that the team has won 49. So it seems like they have a good chance in the next.
How many wins did they have in 2018, Dave?
52.
52. There you
52.
Go.
52. So
they can't pass it. All they can do is tie it.
And that year they had more overtime and shootout losses than they did this team did in terms of regulation losses. So that team, I think, finished. That team was like 114.
Yeah.
And so this team.
And Nashville, I can't believe I remember this, but it was because it was such a monumental year, but I think Nashville had 117 and they won the President's Trophy, right?
Yeah. And Caitlin, just to confirm, Thomas Milic joining the Moose definitely had a big role. Maybe we'll mention that after the break. But Jets win 3-0, big win for the Winnipeg Jets. They maintain their position as chasing down the Colorado Avalanche, tie them now for second. And look, if the Jets win, I think if the Jets win in Colorado and in Seattle, they ultimately would, that Vancouver game becomes meaningless. I think I see Drew tweeting that. So he's not on the show, but he was tweeting information we can use on this show. So just to, here, I'll give the folks.
Stick to your day job, Drew, okay?
make people laugh. But this is what Drew said. The Jets win on Saturday in regulation and on Tuesday in any capacity, they clinch second place, rendering Thursday's game season finale meaningless.
All of a sudden, Drew's now on the Jets finishing second bandwagon. Go back a week and Drew was saying that the Jets had no chance of catching Colorado. You got to love it. All of a sudden, you know, Drew's trying to rewrite history.
That is typical of Mindell. But anyways, we'll get into that on Saturday's show. We'll give Drew a hard time on Saturday when the band is all back together.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been over a week since we've been all back together, Dave. I don't know. You're always gallivanting around somewhere. So
I'm gallivanting. And back, I appreciate that. Well, this has been the Betway Game Recap, which is brought to you as no surprise by our friends at Betway. It's simple, fun, and safe to bet with Betway. So head on over to Betway and bet your way. Must be 19 years or older to play, and please play responsibly. All right. Well, we are going to head to some words from our sponsors. So don't go anywhere, of course. Stick around for some post-game thoughts from Ezzy and I. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors.
BP's new York Sicilian square footers. With a thicker crust than ever before, they're light and airy on the inside and oh so crispy on the outside. You're going to have your work cut out for you.
Okay, fine.
Try the New York Sicilian square footers, only at Boston Pizza.
You guys ever wish for a game changer in life?
Like finding out your favorite snack has zero calories?
Or discovering the mute button on Ezzy?
Picture this, a secret weapon for parking, where you can book a spot a whole month in advance.
Tell me more, Drew.
Pre-book your parking at really low rates, or maybe even for free if you use the code IllegalCurve.
Free? What is this? Sorcery?
The Grid Park app. It's a real secret weapon that has affordable game day parking. And to sweeten the deal even more,
I love sweets.
Our listeners can use the code IllegalCurve to park for free.
Holy Zamboni!
Tell me about it. Just download Grid Park, GRYD Park, and use the code IllegalCurve, all one word, to park for free.
The game can change just like that. Accidents happen when you aren't protected. So now what? Getting to your injury quickly can make all the difference. Help prevent them from being game changers with Linden Market Dental Center. Bonding, crowns, bridges, and dental implants. State-of-the-art treatments are available to help you get back in the game. To learn more, visit LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Your coworkers love you because you always make them laugh. You're the life of the party with stories that have them rolling on the floor. Or maybe you're just the quiet one in the corner with the one-liners that just slay. Do you have what it takes to become Winnipeg's funniest person with a day job? Try your luck. Hit the stage at Rumors Comedy Club and you could be walking away with $1,000 cash. Winnipeg's funniest person with a day job. Presented by Rumors. For all the details, head to RumorsComedyClub.com.
Whoa, Ezzy, everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. Chaos!
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rollies and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rollies.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Rollies Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rollies.com.
For three generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the Illegal Curve hockey show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve post-game show. I'm Dave Minuk, back after my hiatus to Vegas with the boys, and he's my main man.
I was Vegas, Dave. Let's get a Minuk Vegas minute in here.
Vegas was fun. We had a lot of fun. It was good times. Always good to hang out with the boys.
Is it true that who's at the Sphere right now? The Eagles?
I'm not sure.
The Eagles were at the Sphere because U2's done, right?
Yeah, U2 is done, I believe.
Yeah.
I actually went to, fun fact, and I'm sure I was number 300th on his list, but I actually went to U2 in Winnipeg with none other than Drew Mandel, the host of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show and the Illegal Curve Postgame Show. So I'm not sure. That was a few years back, but that was the most random
duo. Was that at IG Field?
No, that was at Polo, like the old stadium.
Were you and Drew even friends back then?
More acquaintances at that point.
Wasn't that like the late 90s?
Mm.
Did you guys even know each other back then?
I want to say it was, well, Brent, just so you know, Brent's worried that we're not getting enough likes. You have to refresh your thing I don't know if it was Phyllis, whoever it was. You just got to make sure you refresh and then you'll see more likes. But that is a good point. I mean, there were a lot of you in the watching the show. We had over 500 at one point. So we need to get that like number up. Let's make sure we hit 300, 400. That always helps. It helps us with the algorithm. Let's folks find out about the Illegal Curve post-game show. And, you know, one way you can help spread the word of Illegal Curve. Well, you can tell your friends and family if you have conversations with them, tell them about our show, but you can also share on Facebook, on Twitter, on Threads, on Blue Sky, whatever social media you tend to use, Ezzy.
You got to stop with Blue Sky.
Well, I'm joking for the most part. I don't even know what Blue Sky is.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you keep talking about Blue Sky.
Well, I do it as more as a joke because
I would rather watch Vanilla Sky featuring Tom Cruise, to be honest with you.
Anyways, the point is you can let people know by sharing our stuff, and then people will find us, and then hopefully they'll join us, and we'll continue to grow this channel. So let's keep
apparently,
this thing.
Sorry, I just did a little research on the old Google
machine. I can
machine.
See you doing that.
Apparently the Eagles are not playing at the Sphere until the fall. So I don't know who, I mean, you were just in Vegas, Dave.
Yeah.
You would know better than I do, but
I don't go to shows when I'm in Vegas.
Yeah. Fair enough.
So it's kind of like a,
The last time I was in Vegas with you was 2014. And I think at one point we were considering going to Carrot Top, but we decided just to walk the strip instead.
Carrot Top kind of freaks me out
a little bit with his steroid usage and all.
Well, I was going to say, Carrot Top's a little different than he used to look a few years back. But anywho, the SCMAC said we can also do this on MySpace, AOL, Yahoo, lots of opportunities.
Yeah, Alta Vista.
Whatever you got to do. Anyways, let's, as you had a Tough Duck comment ready to go.
I do. I have a lot starred, but I think I have narrowed it down.
Okay, well, let's get into it. Let's shout it out to our friends at Tough Duck.
The Tough Duck Hardison comment.
All right, lots of good comments tonight. We are up to around 500 watching live on YouTube, so we appreciate everybody joining us tonight after a huge 3-0 Jets win in Dallas, Texas. Lots of good comments, as I mentioned. We're going to give tonight's Tough Duck hardest hitting comment to somebody who is quite popular on the Illegal Curve post game show. She's also quite popular on Winnipeg Sports Talk, who obviously we're big fan of, big friends with Huss and Remus. We're giving it to... That was my mistake. We might have to give two Tough Duck comments out
tonight. Yeah, seriously,
I clicked on the wrong one. We're giving it to Phyllis tonight. Her comment, okay, so I was wrong, so wrong. I thought we weren't going to win this one, but when they do back-checking like they can, this is what it looks like. When they do back-checking kind of reminds me like of that SNL skit when they say like doing that hockey, doing that back checking. So I like this comment from Phyllis because at the end of the day, that's what this game was all about. The Jets were not giving the Dallas Stars a lot of time and space out there, and they were shutting down the big boys. Love the comment. Yeah, Phyllis, I think Phyllis won a Tough Duck Toque last year. I don't think Phyllis has won a Toque this year. And obviously Phyllis, it was like,
is it a toque though? It's plus 17 today.
I was going to say, it's not exactly toque weather, but we're going to send Phyllis a toque because we only have three more regular season games left. And then we're going to transition to trucker hats for the Jets playoff run like we did last year. So congrats to Phyllis. I don't think Phyllis has to email me because I've already got her info, from last year.
Yeah.
So congrats to Phyllis. Sorry, Skippy. I think we might've given Skippy a Tough Duck Toque earlier this year, but if we haven't given you a toque, Skippy, send me an email, Ezra@illegalcurve.com, and we'll send you out a Tough Duck Toque. And as I mentioned, we're going to start giving away trucker hats starting with game one, whether that's in Winnipeg or Denver. And can't wait, because we're going to be broadcasting live from City Place. We should maybe give that a plug right now, Dave, that's game one or game three. And then the reverse, whether it's game one or game three, the first away game, we're going to be at Boston Pizza Taylor. Shout out to Andrew Shevchik, who dropped off some bots of pizza to the Hockey Manitoba offices, because this is a good opportunity to give a plug for the Hockey Manitoba Cup. 13th year, the Hockey Manitoba Cup. It's the premier adult rec tournament in Manitoba. 80-plus teams begins tomorrow at Hockey for All Center. It's also going to be played at Seven Oaks Arena and Canlan.
Yep.
So got to give a plug to my employer there and Andrew Shevchik of Boston Pizza, who dropped off, it was pepperoni and bacon. And then there was, which is obviously not kosher. I didn't eat that, Dave. I ate the spicy pierogi pizza, which is obviously, as you know, I used to eat quite a few of those back in the day when we used to do the pre and post game show with Slick Rick Ralph and then Kevin O after. So, but congrats to Phyllis. I'm going on a bit of a tangent here. I had a shot of Fireball. Congrats to Phyllis, who wins the Tough Duck Hardest Inning comment tonight. And Skippy, send me an email, Ezra@illegalcurve.com, if you didn't receive a toque earlier this year, because the good folks at Tough Duck are generous, and they will let us give away a couple toques here tonight. Well,
to bring it completely full circle, Ezzy, not only is it a Hockey Manitoba weekend, but making it an Illegal Curve weekend, our friend Colby Spence and photographer will be shooting.
Yep, he's shooting the Hockey Manitoba Cup. Yep, that's right.
Oh, and by the way, what coincidence. I'm not even joking. Literally, Colby Spence just commented in the chat. So Colby, who will be, who's of course the Illegal Curve photog.
Colby is everywhere. Like Colby
and videographer.
Colby is just popping up everywhere. Like he's shooting sports. He's shooting his Ford Bronco.
Shoots the rumors.
He shoots at rumors. He's shooting nature.
He got rumors.
If you follow Colby, you should definitely be following Colby on Colby Spence Photography on Instagram, because he's just in addition to being an amazing photographer, he's just a great dude, and he's part of the Illegal Curve family. So shout out to Colby.
There you go. Shout out to Colby is right. Shout out to all of you for joining us for here on the Illegal Curve post game show. Oh wait, what's that sound? What's that sound?
Put on your antlers. It's time for the Minook Moose Minute on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Now, I'm going to default to you, Ez, because you were actually in the building this weekend. So, I mean, I'm not even sure I should be talking about the moose stuff. I'm not going to do a Minook Moose Minute. I was just kidding around. I just wanted to do that because I like to set off the thing. But the Moose have a huge critical game, two games coming up against Iowa. It should be a lot of fun. We've got some tickets to give away. So if you want to go to the game, dave@illegalcurve.com Saturday, and then Sunday is Fan Appreciation Day. So we'll have tickets to give away for that game as well.
I don't want to brag, Dave, but I'm sitting on three Brad Lambert bobbleheads. Well, sorry, one, two of them are my kids. Ruben and Ariella each have one. Naomi gave Ruben hers to give to his friend at school, but I've been asking you all year long, Chaz Lucius. I never got my Chaz Lucius bobblehead, but I've got my Brad Lambert bobblehead. So I don't even think you have one of those yet.
I do not have one yet, but I've been reliably informed that both my Chaz Lucius and Brad Lambert bobbleheads are in keeping. I may have them waiting for me on Saturday in the Illegal Curve spot in the press box. So we'll see if I get that. Plus, I believe for the fans, either on Saturday or Sunday, they're giving away plush moose. I think it's Saturday because it's like the mascot fiesta or something like that. So that should be a fun one. There's already over, I think, 5,000 fans that are going to be in attendance on the Saturday and Sunday games. Sunday, like I said, is the regular season finale. The Moose chasing down the Texas Stars. We talked about the Dallas Stars tonight, Ezzy. The Texas Stars currently are in fourth. The Moose are in fifth. They're 5 points back. They have a game in hand. So if they can beat Iowa this weekend, guess what? Coincidentally, they'll go to Milwaukee. They'll play one game in Milwaukee, and then they'll have two games in Texas against the Stars. So if they can win, they'll earn themselves home ice. If they can't, they're still going to play Texas most likely. They have to clinch, of course. But if they do, that'll be a big one. And they had a big weekend this weekend as you were there.
I just have one question, Dave. Are they going to be playing that song by Beyonce, "This Ain't Texas"? This ain't Hold'em. We'll have to talk to Kyle Bahari, and we'll have to get them. That would be so funny if they played that song in Winnipeg.
That would be very funny. We'll see if Kyle does that or Colin Peterson.
Colin Peterson.
Really for the Moose. Right. But yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. And like I said, the Moose are riding. We've spent a lot of time last week covering them. Of course, the Moose on illegalcurve.com. So if you want to see that, and like I said, 2023 first rounder Colby Barlow joined the team. He was reassigned on Sunday, but they didn't practice Monday, Tuesday. So he first skated with them yesterday. So we've got all of that. We've got Mark Morrison, the head coach's comments. Today, we spoke to Ville Heinola and Axel Janssen Fjällby.
AJF.
Talk to him. So those comments are up on our YouTube channel. But two big wins over Chicago as he was in the crowd for one of them. Huge Ville Heinola OT game winner.
That overtime goal was a beauty.
Unbelievable. And I had to cut out 15 seconds of the sequence, Ezzie, and it still looked unbelievable with the 10 I left in. So, yeah, Ville Heinola scored a beauty that gave them a win. And, of course, Henri Nikkanen with a shootout winner in the eighth round. That was quite a slick move by Henri Nikkanen. So, Moose are feeling good about themselves. The Jets are feeling good. They picked up their fifth straight win as they go into Dallas and defeat the Dallas Stars 3-0 for win 49 on the season. Okay, it's been a great night for us. Frosty, get it ready. Get our thing ready so we can give our shout-outs to our sponsors. If you don't, I'm going to have to do it without you. But I usually give Frosty a little bit more notices, but not tonight. This has been a long show, but hey, it's my first show back. Oh, Frosty, I should have known. He's always got it ready to go. Big thank you to all the sponsors of Illegal Curve who make the post-game show, the Saturday show, and the website, illegalcurve.com, a possibility. They are in no particular order. Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club. Grid Park. Use code IllegalCurve to park for free. And remember, I've got free parking to still give away. I think I've got like six left, even though there's only two home games. But doesn't matter. We can give them away for the playoffs as well. Save it for the playoffs. Park for free at the playoffs. But Linden Market Dental Center, Zappia Group Realty, Betway, Tough Duck, Boston Pizza, Seagram's, Rolly's Transfer, and Farmery Beer. Support these fine businesses because of their continued support of Illegal Curve Hockey. Okay, that's it for us. That's Ezra Ginsberg. I am Dave Minuke. We are going to be back in action on Saturday at 9 o'clock. As he said, Sean Reynolds and Wendell Clark will be joining us for that show. So make sure you stay tuned for that. And of course, Friday, we'll have all the latest Jets and Moose news. The Moose are practicing. I'll have that covered. Jets are scheduled to practice. I don't know if they're going to keep that. If they do, we'll make sure you check illegalcurve.com for all the latest news regarding the AHL and NHL teams of Manitoba. That's it for tonight's broadcast. We appreciate you joining us and spending the rest of your Thursday night with us. Have a great rest of your night. Smash that like button. Make sure you're subscribing. And a big thanks for all of the support here at Illegal Curve Hockey.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel. Follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, illegalcurve.com.